Living a life of consecration to God, that's what we're going to explore this morning. It's a profound topic, it's a transformative topic. Consecration to God. Consecration is something more than just a basic commitment. It's a wholehearted dedication of ourselves in worship, in service, and in love. Four aspects that we're going to look at. The call to consecration, the process of consecration, the fruit of consecration, and then consecration through communion. All of these things will help us to understand how we can actually live a consecrated life, a life that is rooted in our service and devotion to our Lord and our Saviour. So first point, the call to consecration, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The Apostle Paul calls those who believe in Jesus to present themselves, to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. This really highlights a total surrender to God's will. It's about what God wants to do in us and through us. It's no longer about what we want. The Greek word that's used here for sacrifice is thousia. It conveys the idea of offering something that's of value to God. I suppose it's the difference between offering God the best that you can or the worst that you can. God demands our best. God demands everything. Yet there are those times when we perhaps grudgingly give. And I'm not talking just about financial. I'm talking about of our time, of our efforts. It's all Monday night. Do I really need to go to a prayer meeting on a Monday night? I mean, you know, spending an hour with other Christians who are praying to God, do I really want to do that? When actually it's God that calls us to come in and spend time with him, to spend time in fellowship with him, to actually move away from our focus on the things of the world and to focus on our Saviour. We can let stuff get in the way, but when we give the best that we can to our Lord, it's what he deserves. We don't give expecting to be blessed or to receive anything back in return. We give because he deserves our giving. And when we present our bodies, we acknowledge God is sovereign. We acknowledge that we are responding to his mercy, to his grace and to his love. And to consecrate ourselves, we need to resist the worldly patterns. We need to allow God to renew our minds. We need to allow God to continue to transform us and change us as he makes us fit for heaven. And as we're transformed, as we're changed, as we listen more for the voice of God, we do discern his will. It's interesting when Natalie said she wasn't sure why she selected the songs that she did because it seemed so far away from the topic that I was preaching on. Yet, as we've discovered, praise is a way of consecrating ourselves to God. Moving our focus from ourselves to him. It makes perfect sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 says this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Our lives were purchased at the highest possible price, the death of Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate penalty for us. And we are meant to live in a way that brings honour and glory to him, acknowledging the fact that he's actually got ownership of us. He's paid the ransom. We are his. There is an old song that says, debtor to mercy alone. And it is through the mercy of God that we are saved. He loves us so much. Second point, the process of consecration. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." As the Israelites, they were preparing to cross the Jordan River, Joshua commands them to purify themselves. The Hebrew word for purify is kadash. It means to set apart as holy. In Arabic, it's kadus, for those of you that need to know that as well. To set apart as holy. I wonder, in our own lives, do we attempt to set apart anything as holy? Do we understand what it means to actually be holy the way that God expects us to be? God himself said, "Be holy because I am holy." That's a command, not a suggestion. But unless we're actually purified, how can we be holy? I mean, the external rituals that the Israelites did here show some form of dedication, but the outside being purified doesn't make the heart pure, does it? Think about Jesus. He accused the Pharisees of washing the part of the cup, but the rest of it was still disgusting. And that's really the state of our hearts in our natural state, isn't it? We can all be good at looking good. We can all be good at saying the right things, but there could be a completely different conversation going on inside our heads. To truly be kadash or kadus means a change. It requires a transformation to take place. We are witnesses to God's marvelous work. The fact that he's actually saved us and brought us from darkness into light is the biggest miracle perhaps that we will ever experience, because it means our eternal salvation. And yes, God does move in power, and God does work in this world in so many different ways. Healing, restoring, making new. But this is about us making ourselves right in the sight of God. This is about us actually positioning ourselves to truly be blessed by the Lord. It's about us perhaps getting out of the way to let God be God and actually control our lives. We should want to live away from sin. We should want to live in a way that dedicates ourselves to God. In our spiritual journey, we need to continually purify our hearts and our minds. And we do that by the word of God. We do that by being obedient to his word. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Come close to God and God will come close to you." God doesn't want to distance himself from us. God wants to be in relationship with us. He wants us to draw near to him so that he can draw near to us. And sometimes we are just so busy and focused on other things that as God tries to draw near to us, we actually turn further in the opposite direction. But what we need to do is actually turn our focus to God. "Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." There's many things in this world that cause us to be distracted. There's many things in this world that seem good, but they lead to a path of destruction. We need to be careful how we walk. And part of the consecration means that we seek God's presence, that we rid ourselves of anything that could stop our loyalty to him. We're not meant to have a divided heart. We're meant to have a heart that is fixed on our Saviour. Third point, the fruit of consecration. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Do you see the emphasis of Jesus here about remaining in him, connecting with him so that we can bear fruit? The Greek word for remain is meno. It means to abide or to stay, to dwell, if you will. It's about a life that is so consecrated to Christ that it's almost inseparable. We live in Him. There's a song that says that in Him I live, I move, I breathe. And that is the truth. That is the reality that we live in. The branches depend on the vine. Without the branches, the vine does not have sustenance. And without Christ, we do not have spiritual vitality or fruitfulness. We're just dried up and shriveled. But God restores us. God makes all things new. From within us will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water bubbling up. When we are consecrated to God, we become channels of His grace. We bear fruit for the kingdom. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things. Notice in that list the things that are not there. Hate, unhappiness, sadness, anger. All of the fruits of the Spirit are good. Our sinfulness is bad. Our sinful nature drags us down. Our sinful nature distracts us from the purposes of God working in our lives. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work, look at the transformation that comes. These fruits, they're the evidence of a consecrated life. Evidence that we are living in a union with Christ. We may not display all of the fruit at the same time. Perhaps for some of us, one fruit is stronger than another. But in some way, they should be present in our lives. Fourth point, consecration through communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." This passage is so familiar to us. So many times we've read how the Apostle Paul recounts the institution of the Lord's Supper. He's emphasizing remembrance. He's emphasizing proclamation. Another Greek word for you. Gosh, it feels like a Greek lesson this morning. The Greek word for remembrance is anamnesis. It means a recollection. It means it could mean a memorial. When we take communion, we are remembering what Christ has done for us. But it's more than just a memorial. It is an opportunity to once again connect and thank Christ for what he has done for us. It's not just a ritual. It's an act of consecration. Every time we come to the communion table, we are saying, "Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you again. We're thankful for what you've done. We know that you've set us free from the burden of our sin. We know that you've died for us." And again, we commit ourselves to you, thankful for all that he has done. Christ sacrificed himself for us. We are united together in the body of Christ because of what he has done. And our commitment to him should be that we live lives that are consecrated to him. Lives that reflect our dedication to God. Lives that reflect how much we love him. Are there areas in your life that perhaps need realignment with his will? Are there areas in your life that perhaps don't bring him glory? Communion is an opportunity to renew our connection. It's an opportunity once again to remember the ultimate sacrifice and remember that we've said that we are going to live for him. that He is Lord, that He is Saviour. As I conclude the sermon, let's remember that consecration is a continuous journey, just as being a Christian is a continuous journey. Yes, on the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we were assured of our sins forgiven. We were assured of eternal life. But as long as God keeps us on this earth, He's working in us and through us to make us fit for heaven. We are on a continuous journey, and we should continually rededicate ourselves to the Lord, consecrating ourselves to Him, responding to His call, undergoing another purification process if necessary, to stop our hearts from being divided, to stop our minds from being focused on the things of the world, so that we're consecrated to live according to His will and His purpose. And let's abide in Christ, friends. Let's continue to bear that lasting fruit. As we come to the communion table again, let's remember what Christ has done for us. This morning, let me invite you to take a fresh step of consecration. Commit your life, your body, your heart, everything about you wholly to God. And let's pray that God will help us and strengthen us to resist worldly temptations, to be pure in His sight, and to remain in Christ. Reflect today on what's going on in your life right now. Are there any habits? Are there any thoughts? Are there any relationships that need to be purified, that need to be sorted out? We can stay connected to Christ. We can stay consecrated, but it's an act of will. It's something we need to choose to do. So this morning, as we now come to the communion table, let's dedicate our lives anew to God. Let's trust His plans. Let's trust His purposes for us. In the act of communion, we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us, the ultimate expression of God's saving power, the ultimate expression of God's saving love. As we take the bread that symbolizes Jesus' body broken for us, as we drink of the cup that reminds us of the blood that He shed so that our sins could be forgiven, let's be thankful for the free offer of salvation to all who will believe. And let's ask God to consecrate us, to change us, to help us to be consecrated to Him, that we might live lives that bring Him honour and glory and praise. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank You for Your great plan of salvation, that from eternity You chose the way that we could be saved, the only sacrifice that was possible to ensure the forgiveness for all who will believe is the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that You willingly went to that cross, that there You bore our punishment, You bore our pain, You bore the shame that was rightfully ours. Help us to be consecrated to You. Help us to be thankful for what You have done. Help us to live lives which bring You honour and glory and praise. And we thank You for Your body broken for us, Your blood shed for us. Help us, Lord, to be the people that You've called us to be, that we might know You, love You, honour You and serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus simply took bread and broke it. Said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you." We'll eat the bread as we receive it, but then we'll retain the cup to drink together to signify our unity in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The words of the song that was playing, we bow down and confess that You are Lord in this place. And that is so true. We're thankful for what He has done for us. We're thankful for His mercy, His blessings, the grace that He bestows on us every single day. But at the cross, it wasn't just our salvation He purchased. He also purchased our healing too. And in Him, we can be made whole. Our burdens, we can release them to Him. We can thank Him. We can trust Him. And He calls us to love Him. As we drink of the cup together, let's be thankful for all that He has done. And let's once again renew our commitment to be consecrated to Him, to know Him, to love Him, to trust Him, to serve Him forevermore. Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, again we thank You. We thank You for the blood that You shed. We thank You that by your stripes we're healed. We thank you that you are our Lord and our Saviour. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to live in a way that gives you glory and honour in everything that we do. That you would guard our hearts and guard our lips too, Lord. May our lips be full of praise. May we, Lord, proclaim the truth of who you are in a fallen and broken world. And Lord, I pray for our family, our friends, our relatives, our neighbours, our colleagues who as yet do not know you. But Lord, as they see you at work in our lives, that they would be interested. There would be opportunities to share the truth of who you are, to share the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to do what you do so well, that you will work in people's hearts, minds and lives, and that people will realize that you are Lord and that they will bow down to you. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for everything that you're doing. We bless you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.